providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In the last couple segments here, we are now chatting with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to a lot of well-known investors in the resource sector. Jayant, the last couple of times we've had you on the show, we have broken down different jurisdictions. The first time we started mostly in North America. Second segment, we went more into South America. Now it's time to jump first and foremost to West Africa. We are also going to get to Scandinavia later in this interview, but first and foremost, West Africa. Let's go through more or less country by country, or at least some of the more active countries in the resource space, and get your opinion on the investment climate and the work possibilities that companies have in these countries. Let's start with Nigeria. Jayant, broadly, how do you view Nigeria as a potential investment opportunity for resource investors, please?
Thanks for having me, Corey. Corey, Nigeria is probably one of the most complex countries in sub-Saharan Africa. It has a few hundred ethnic groups and a few hundred local languages, and the population is equally divided between Muslims and Christians, which means that that creates a lot of instability within the country. From whatever I read about Nigeria, this is not just what I have said is not just the only reason for the instability in the country. It's different ethnic groups fighting with each other, different regions asking for independence. So that creates Nigeria an extremely difficult place to understand. So I would be keen on investing in Nigeria only if I knew the management, if I knew what they were up to, if they really understood where they were going to invest in Nigeria. Now, also remember, it's one of the most populated countries on the planet, and it will be, by the end of this century, almost certainly the second most populated country on the planet.
Yeah, Jayant, it's an interesting country. And like many of these countries in West Africa, there's different zones within it. We've had on our show Thor Explorations before, ticker THX, and they just moved into production the end of last year and have actually got a mine up and built relatively on time, on budget. And so it is possible to get mines going there, and they seem to be moving along pretty well. Near Nigeria, though, very close by is Ghana. And I know in Ghana, it's one of the largest gold producing countries on the planet. Most people don't realize how much gold comes out of Ghana. And there's a few companies there in operations that are majors, as well as some big development projects. Any thoughts on Ghana?
Well, Ghana is probably the most stable country in sub-Saharan Africa. So that clearly gives it an edge in terms of private property protection, and also they have had a stable tax regime in that country. It's a relatively safe country to travel in. I have traveled in Ghana a couple of times, and it's a very decent place to, reasonably decent compared to what happens in sub-Saharan Africa, to travel in. So yeah, I completely agree with it. It's a good place for gold mining, and political stability gives it a lot of a stamp of confidence on this country.
Jayant, what about the Ivory Coast or Cote d'Ivoire? I feel like this is almost a more active, or one of the most active areas in West Africa, especially when it comes still to exploration. What do you like? What do you dislike about Cote d'Ivoire?
Well, again, Ivory Coast, by the standards of sub-Saharan Africa, is not all that unstable. It's a reasonably stable country. They do get civil wars, and they do have changes in government. But, you know, that's something you should expect in a lot of sub-Saharan African countries anyway. Now, there is, of course, a slight problem with Ivory Coast, because while Nigeria has 50-50 division between Muslims and Christians, Ivory Coast also has a closer ratio between Muslims and Christians, and that adds to the instability in Ivory Coast, but it still continues to be one of the more stable parts of sub-Saharan Africa.
Well, I guess as we keep touring through West Africa, there's also Burkina Faso, and I know it's a mixed bag. The northern border has some issue with some of the Muslim countries that have it kind of created some issues there. But then the southern part of the state has these greenstone belts in Burkina Faso, where there's a number of successful mines and takeovers. We've seen Teranga, we've seen SEMAFO taken over by Endeavour Mining, we've seen Savory Mining taking over. We've got Roxgold that was operating there that was taken over by Fortuna. We've also got Orezone moving their big project forward as a going into production in the next year or so. So what's your take on Burkina Faso?
Well, personally, I have liked Burkina Faso quite a bit from the mining perspective. Now, again, Burkina Faso is an extremely poor country, but they have had less of democracy than a lot of these countries in the West African area. I am not a big fan of democracy, particularly in developing countries, because tribal, uneducated people vote for leaders without really understanding what they are voting for. So what they vote for is freebies and just inducements. So I don't have much against dictatorships, if that's what you are going to get. Burkina Faso has probably been a lot more stable because of dictatorships that they have had, rather than what would have happened had they been a full democracy.
So, Giant, are there any companies throughout West Africa that you're invested in that you like more than others? Please share with us whatever you're willing to.
Well, I am heavily invested in two West African countries, and both of them are hugely discounted to what I consider to be their fair value. So I, of course, consider the political risks associated with sub-Saharan Africa, and if I adjust for that risk, the valuation of the companies that I have seen in West Africa are over-discounted for those risks. And that makes West African companies very attractive to me. And also, what I have seen over the last couple of years is that West African production has been more cost-effective than probably production in many other countries. People want to run away from sub-Saharan Africa just because of political risks, but you have to really see whether the share prices are discounted well enough for political risks or not. And if they are discounted more than they should be, then they offer you a very good valuation. Two companies that I want to talk about, Corey. One is Nucor Gold, that has an operation in Ghana. They are, I think, just over 1 million ounce resource, but they have done a huge amount of drilling after they had their last resources announced. And I think at some point of time, they will come up with a new resource. They have recently raised money, if I'm not incorrect, at about 30 cents. It's trading at 27 cents today. I think there's a very good upside in this company, particularly because there's a lot of blue sky. They have done a lot of drilling, and they should come up with a significant increase in resources in the next release.
Yeah, as it relates to Nucor Gold, Giant, we've had Luke on the show a number of times, Luke Alexander, and I think it's interesting, and it kind of sums up what's going on in West Africa, where they've got 1.4 million ounces of gold, to your point. They're drilling like crazy. I think they have a 90,000 meter drill program that they're wrapping up. And even after all of that drilling, they still are getting valued for basically the value of the money they've raised. They've raised about $35 million, and they're only valued at a little over 40, 45 million. And they're not getting any value for all those millions of ounces of gold. If that project was in Canada or maybe in the US, it would probably be worth 3 to 4 times the value it is. So is that the kind of value arbitrage you're talking about, Giant?
Yes, absolutely. So, I completely agree with you, Shad. Were this project in Canada, the share price and market capitalization of this company would have been much higher. Now, there is indeed a risk associated with Ghana, but how much more of a risk it is? Ghana is a relatively stable jurisdiction, so I should not be discounting too much for Ghanese political risks. But even if I do, I still get so much more upside that I'm very happy investing in this company.
So, Giant, what are you valuing ounces in the ground at? Because it's not just Nucor that's pulled back with ounces in the ground. Everything has, and we've heard from a lot of companies, more or less management, complaining that their ounces in the ground aren't getting the value that they want. How are you valuing ounces in the ground right now?
Well, I am still using the numbers from their PEA of 2021, which was producing just about 1 million ounces from the ground. Now, as Shad suggested, they are likely to come up with a much higher number. And if I just stick to the PEA numbers, which is my worst case scenario, I still get a very nice upside in owning this company. I would say my NPV per share would offer me at least 100 to 150% upside in owning this company.
Well, Giant, I'd like to ask you about one more that I know we've talked about off mic. I hope it's okay to mention here. And it's a company that I also hold shares in, and that's Montage Gold. We've had them on the show a couple times. They're operating in Ivory Coast. They've developed a project that has close to 4 million ounces. So again, there's not a lot of 4 million ounce deposits on the planet. And it seems like they can't get any market love either. So what's your take on why something like a Montage, similar to Nucor, has expanded such a great resource, and yet it seems like the market snubs their nose at it?
Yes, and Montage is trading for significantly lower share price than it was IPO'd at, and they recently completed a financing at 70 cents, and it's trading today at only about 60 cents. I think Montage has an excellent upside, and it's a much bigger project as well. Now, that does not mean that Nucor can't become much bigger, because they are actually getting good grade at depth. So Nucor can also do very well. But Montage has a large resource already in their PEA, and they are acquiring a very large package of land from Endeavor Mining, and I think it's Barrick. So they are consolidating that area, which will actually make it a much bigger place than a place only for 4 million ounces. So it will be it is almost becoming a mini district for gold.
Well, just one more general question before we move on from West Africa, Giant, and that is, I've been following the sector here for probably a dozen years, and I've invested in probably a dozen companies. And what I've noticed is projects in general, depending on where you're at, whether it's Ghana or Cote d'Ivoire, Burkina Faso or Sierra Leone, there's a lot of countries that are able to move the permitting along quicker. They're able to get the projects up and built on time, on budget. And we've actually seen a lot of takeovers. Everybody's always obsessed with who the next M&A candidate's going to be. And everybody's always looking in Canada. But I see a lot of majors, to your point, like Endeavor or Barrick, operating in Africa. And we've probably seen a half dozen takeovers just in the last couple of years in West Africa. So from that standpoint, do you think some of these projects getting built are being ignored by retail, but not being ignored by the majors, and that they're the more likely takeover candidates as we move forward into a more bull market in gold?
Yeah, retail people certainly, I think, tend to ignore a lot of projects in sub-Saharan Africa. And that is that has a legitimate reason, because they don't really understand that area very well. So they stay away from it because of the fear of the unknown. But I completely agree with you that it is the majors who actually pay attention to these companies. And you actually then see a sudden jump in share price because of the merger that starts to happening in sub-Saharan Africa.
All right, Giant, let's now move over to the Scandinavia countries. These have come a bit more into light over the last about 5 to 6 years, driven by some nice discoveries. Let's start off with Finland. Again, a lot of news that has come out of Finland. A few very active companies that have garnered investors' attention. Of course, everything's pulled back with the market. What do you think about Finland as an investable country for resource investors?
Well, it's probably one of the very few countries in Europe that actually passed the investment grade. It is very open to mining. It's the property rights are very safe, and from whatever I have seen, the permitting issues are not as challenging as they are in most of the world. So it's an excellent jurisdiction to invest in.
Well, Giant, when I think of Finland, I kind of think of area plays, and it makes me think of different pockets of the country, of the continents, where something gets going with one country. And in Finland's case, it was Rupert Resources, which we've had on the show a few times just to share their updates. They've developed a great deposit, high grade. It got everybody's attention. And then you had Orion Resources, who we've had on the show as a show sponsor, and they've found these big boulder fields. And then now they've partnered up with B2 Gold, a major, and they've started really moving along another project. Firefox Gold came in, that's a big Crescott Capital company, and they've started playing into it. We've got Capella Resources there now, too. So it seems like when one company hits, these area plays start. I just wondered in general what your thoughts are when you start seeing that kind of momentum going in an area play. Are you interested in some of the new companies, or do you go with the more established one that made the first discovery?
Well, typically I prefer to stick with the established company, and I don't really want to invest in companies that go into that area just piggybacking on companies that have found something. But I'm invested in Orion Gold, and it has an excellent management. They have done a lot of very good job, and they are trading for a very low share price. I think it's about 60 or 65 cents that they are trading at. They have some excellent partnerships with the majors, and so has Rupert. Rupert has done a very good job finding very good grade hits in Finland.
Yeah, they really have been. Built up a nice resource there too, a high-grade resource. Let's move on to Norway then. Couple more companies that are active in Norway. We even cover one that has picked up more land in Norway. Giant, what's your thoughts on Norway?
Well, I am not invested in any company in Norway right now, but again, it's the same thing with the whole of Nordic countries. Norway, Finland, and Sweden are good and decent jurisdictions to invest in.
Well, when you think of something like Norway or Sweden or Finland, they're kind of part of Europe, but they're kind of doing their own thing. And they have a little bit different approach to how they view resources, how they view politics, how they view bringing business in. What's your thoughts on just how they approach international business?
Well, there's one, of course, interesting thing about Scandinavian, Norway, Finland, and Sweden, and which is that they have a much larger landmass than I think a lot of other European countries on per capita basis. So they have a lot of space, and probably they are not enough of NIMBY people to oppose mining, because the mining probably would be far away from a lot of communities.
So what about Sweden then? Giant, Sweden's also fairly active. Any investments there?
Well, I don't have. Well, actually, I have. I invested in a company called Otso Gold, and that went bankrupt. But that had nothing to do with the jurisdiction. It was because their feasibility report was very different from what started to happen in the project when it started producing. So Otso went bankrupt. I hear that the project is being looked at by several other companies to be acquired. But again, Sweden is an excellent jurisdiction to invest in. I don't see any problem from my perspective there.
All right, Giant, let's talk more about the markets then. We've jumped around to a lot of different countries, but the problem being right now with the market is that it's still broadly under pressure. We're continuing to get a bounce here, but you look at practically any chart, whether it's a resource company or a company in tech, really anywhere, they are most likely down for the year, but again, experiencing a little bit of a bounce right now. Let's talk about this general bounce broadly for the markets and the resource stocks. Do you think a bottom is in? Have you gotten more aggressive with some of your investments, or could this very much just be a summer rally that turns around as more traders get back to their desk?
Well, from mid-July, we have had an increase in share prices by about 10 to 15%. So I think we have already started to go up from the bottom. Gold price continues to be reasonably strong. I know a lot of people don't like gold price to be where it is, but it has done extremely well in most currencies, except maybe ruble, American dollars, and Chinese currency. But gold price has done very well, and the market has started to go up. And I think we are now should continue to go up. Here's the issue, Corey. I think what happens is that in a bull market, all bad companies go up as well. In a bear market, good companies become extremely cheap. And the reason is that in the bull market, people buy things without thinking. And in a bear market, people start selling everything without thinking. So a lot of good companies are still extremely cheap. And I think it's a very good time to invest in those companies.
Well, John, you bring up a really interesting point, because there's a lot of different schools of thought and different styles and how people invest in the junior mining space and in the mining space in general. Usually when we see a turn up in the precious metals, it's the big companies that move first. You know, it's the larger producers, it's the royalty companies, and then eventually things trickle down into the development stories and then the explorers over time as the bull market really gets going. But right now, everything is on sale to the point where most of the juniors have been decimated. They're trading at cash in the bank or getting no value for their ounces in the ground if they're a development project. Are you more interested in a company like that? Or would you be interested in buying some of the quality mid-tiers that are producing that are also discounted down? What has more of your attention at this point where we've really seen to sell everything in the junior mining space?
Well, after 2008, some of the companies that I was invested in went up 5 or 6 times over the next couple of years. And I would not be surprised if something similar happens with some of the junior mining companies today, so over the next 2 or 3 years. So that is not something which can happen to a big mining company. So I am very patient. I'm invested in what I consider to be very quality junior mining companies. And I think their performance can be extraordinary if gold prices stays where it is and the market comes to appreciate the value of these companies. And if market does not come to appreciate the value of these companies, then mergers and acquisitions will take care of the upside. So I'm very optimistic about what's happening right now.
So Giant, when you're looking at companies, and let's focus on the companies with resources in the ground. Look, having 1 million ounces in the ground, there's a lot of companies that have that. We've talked a fair bit about that over the last year plus. What are you looking for when you're looking at resources in the ground, trying to value or at least balance which company, which resource you like better to invest in?
Well, certainly when I'm investing in West Africa, I want a company to have a larger resource rather than a small resource, because I'm still interested in actualizing my value through an acquisition by a major. And if that's what's going to actualize my value, then it has to be a relatively large deposit. And that is why I'm invested in Nucor and Montage. Nucor, because I think it will come up with a significantly larger resource, and Montage already has a world-class resource. So that's what I'm looking at. I'll go through my discounted cash flow calculations. The kind of upsides that I see in some of these projects is much higher than what I see in Americas or in projects with projects in Europe.
Well, just one more on the developers, Giant, and that is there's kind of some different spots companies are at and different approaches. Some have a big resource and they're moving it forward with economic studies with the idea of either getting bought out or trying to move it in production. So I'd like to get your thoughts on, do you like companies that try to take it in production themselves, or do you prefer the buyout? But the other question that ties in with that would be, there are also companies that have big resources but are still doing massive drill programs to try to expand with the drill bit. And sometimes they go off well where they grow their resources more, but their value actually decreases because they keep diluting down shareholders to raise money. So I'd just like to get your thoughts on developers. At what point do you like to be in them, and at what point do you like to exit these companies?
Well, a lot of developing companies would really want to get sold to a major. Now, they still have to do the drama that they are going into production themselves. If they don't do that drama, then the market does not like it. They tend to get sold off, and they have a problem getting acquired by a major. So irrespective of what the real intention of the management is, they still want to claim that they want to take the project into production, and they probably keep moving the company towards production anyway to reduce the political and technical risks to do with the project. So I think any sane management, any good bunch of geologists would want to stick to their core competencies, which is to develop a project rather than to put that project into production. They should look forward to selling their projects at one point of time. Now, there are companies with a very large resources, and then they keep drilling to expand their resources, and they keep raising money. I would be very suspicious about such a company because it is entirely likely that the main deposit is not economical. So what they might be doing is to keep raising money, claiming that they are expanding their resources when the main resource might not be economical enough. So I think people should pay attention to some of those companies. And I do know a couple of companies that have very large resources, but they are very likely not economical. So they keep drilling.
John, what about companies that have had some sort of permitting issues or some issues with the government, whether it's just even a delay in permits? We've seen it a lot in South America right now. Does that immediately take you away or get you out of a stock if you see any of these delays?
Sometimes, yes. So I really want to understand what the reason for delay might be. So if the delay is just a normal political delay, I'm perfectly fine with it. I discount my valuation by another couple of years or more. But sometimes a jurisdiction suddenly starts becoming very risky, in which case I do want to sell and move on very quickly.
Well, just one more on this idea of developers with big projects moving forward. Some of them actually do go all the way, Giant, to first pour, and they start going into production. We've seen a lot of, I don't know, maybe a half dozen to a dozen companies do this in the last few years, and not all of them went off without a hitch. So if you're in a company and you're hoping for the buyout, but then it comes to the point where the company actually is putting in a production, do you like to sell before the first gold pour and just play that golden runway? Or do you like to wait until after that to see if they get their act together? What's your thought if they actually do go forward and try to go into production?
Well, I have nothing against it. I will stick with them as long as my valuation shows me that I should be sticking around with the company. So, no, I don't sell the company just because they have had a problem getting merged with another entity. What I do want to see, however, is the management contracts with the companies. If the management has extremely atrocious change of control contracts with the company, then it becomes very difficult for such companies to be acquired. Now, I am invested in a company in which I see a very good value, but the management will get about $25 million in change of control in an acquisition that is happening. And I don't like that change of control payment, but I have stuck around with that company because I still see a lot of value in that company.
All right, Giant, last question then. When it comes to M&A activity, it's still been relatively slow, and the M&A action that has happened has actually been more disappointing to investors than anything. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel here where the majors or the mid-tiers start to get more aggressive and we actually start to see premiums being put on stocks during M&As that actually excite investors?
Oh, I think that is certainly going to happen. We are seeing more and more M&As, so I think this will happen over the next few months. M&As will continue.
Where do you think that M&A action will come from? Will it be majors, mid-tiers? What do you think?
I think both of them would be interested. Majors have to do M&As, and mid-tier companies will do M&As as well. And in fact, the mid-tier companies should merge themselves as well. So I continue to see a possibility of M&As happening over the rest of the year.
All right, Giant, appreciate your comments as always. It's fun looking around to these different jurisdictions and getting your thoughts on them. There's so many different areas we can talk about. And I know we have been receiving emails asking us to talk a bit more about Australia. However, unfortunately, we're just not quite as up to date on the different areas in Australia. We'll keep on chatting with Giant about other jurisdictions as well as how he's playing these markets in future calls. So, Giant, thank you very much for your time on this weekend show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in this weekend. As always, keep up to date with Shad and I through email. We love hearing from all of you. And hey, hopefully this rebound in the markets broadly continues because it's just more entertaining seeing up days rather than down days. Giant, everybody, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thank you very much.